prior wars, as you well know, have always started with divisions. We're talking anywhere north of 30,000 men. So what are these troops, these men and women, going to be doing over there, do you think?
The best that you can hope for is a strike package, something that you can seize a spot or maybe a small island, as long as it's not very heavily defended. But you're right. That may sound like a lot on the surface, because that's a total of, I think, around 10,000 troops that are there talk about in all of those units. But that's total forces. That's not the actual ground troops, the guys that actually go in are trigger pullers, as we call them. It's probably a lot less than that. So I would wager maybe 4,000 or 5,000 altogether. And that is enough to like seize a small target for a period of time. You got to understand, even the 82nd Airborne Division, it's an immediate reaction force to provide very quick reaction on the ground, but only in advance of something bigger coming in behind that. And if you don't have something bigger, you don't have some way to sustain this, even what little thing you can hold is not going to survive very long, because number one, Iran is definitely prepared for this. They certainly have foreseen this. It's definitely been signaled about as clear as you can. But they already had a defensive preparation ahead of time because they know that these are likely targets, so they have some sort of response. But the entirety of their ground forces is still available, and whatever they may have in terms of artillery, in terms of rocket fire, short-range, medium-range, and long-range missiles, and, of course, multiple categories of drones, so many things that can be brought to bear against this light force, which will have very little support and, crucially, very little way to support itself to sustain it. So whenever you get on the ground, even if you capture something, it's got to be sustained over time, and that's going to be very risky, because almost the only way you can get it into any of these places is through helicopter, whether that's Black Hawks, Chinooks, V-22, Tilt Rotor, Ospreys, etc. Those are all very vulnerable to virtually any weapon Iran has. So I think this has a very low probability of success and a very high probability of casualties.
Unless something bigger is coming, to your point, Colonel. And, let me ask you bluntly and directly, you've been involved in campaigns before. Do you get the sense, or are you seeing evidence that that is what's going to happen, something bigger coming? Because one thing I've been watching is what's going on with the merchant marine. And if anything major and serious, it's always the merchant marine that gets involved. And so far, from what I understand, they don't know any, they haven't gotten any tasking orders at all.
Yeah, I can tell you, I was part of the deployment in Operation Desert Storm in 1991, so I was physically part of that group that was transported from Germany, where the 2nd U.S. Cavalry was located, into Saudi Arabia at Al Jebal port, and we rolled on into the desert, went up from there. And then I was in the Pentagon during the 2003 Iraq War, and was actually directly responsible for helping to coordinate all of that movement, all those logistics you're talking about. And I have seen no evidence that any kind of a force of size has been even considered, much less alerted, prepared, equipped, trained up, that you would need to go getting all of the personnel that you would need. You have to fill up every slot, that everything's got to be 100% manning, etc. That takes months of time to do. I mean, there was many, many months of preparation before Operation Desert Storm, even with the relative short notice of it. Number one, we had an army of 725,000, so it was a lot easier then. But in the 2003 war, we had many months of preparation, at least going back into the summer of 2002, so that we could have that March operation there. And as you correctly point out, you got to have those merchant marines. I mean, I loaded up tanks on those big ships, the Ro-Ros that we called them, and all kinds of other things. And you've got to have that. But until you even alert the troops and get everything ready there, I mean, those, even the merchant marines, are not going to be called into operation. So I see no evidence at all that a larger force is being prepared.
Okay, so with the limited number of men and Marines that we've just been talking about, two MEUs, the 82nd Airborne Brigade, and the command element, the objectives of the targets, I would assume, and people have been talking about, you, first, of course, you need to secure the Strait of Hormuz, and maybe a secondary objective would be to find that uranium. What else do you think is going to be on the menu?
Yeah, I think that there's three general possibilities here. Number one would be to take, I think it's called Kashim Island, which is kind of in the horseshoe bend of the Strait of Hormuz. The second one, of course, is Kargil, that everybody's talking about. And a third possibility could be an attempt to raid where this 400 plus kilograms of reprocessed material is supposed to be located, assuming we could find that, assuming it was in one place and not spread out to avoid a single point of failure. Those are the three things that that size of force could at least theoretically execute. But you got to understand something, too. Almost the only thing you can do is use a helicopter insert. There's almost, or possibly even an airborne assault. But what you can't do is there's no way you're going to roll up with either the USS Tripoli, the USS Boxer, and their escort vehicles, or anything else, all the way past the Gulf of Oman, up through the Strait, and then all the way up in several hundred more miles up to through the Persian Gulf, up to Kargil, for example. It would be just nearly impossible, and you would come under withering fire from possibly drones, possibly submarines, torpedoes that are under the water, and of course you also have the ballistic missile possibility and the drones and artillery that could range from nearly anywhere all along that coastline. So it would be a very, very high risk just to get the ships up to the location, and you could take casualties on the way. So probably the most likely is that you would then use a helicopter, whether it's V-22, the Chinooks, or the Blackhawks. So it's going to be a high-risk operation any way you want. I just don't see it, those ships being able to drive up there, and, you know, like they're designed to do on the beaches.
And, Dan, I just want to sort of zoom out a little bit. And what do you think happened in terms of Trump's strategy and also the U.S. defense capabilities? The warcraft is evolving, and perhaps that was the lesson learned. Do you think there was a bit of a surprise in Washington for the Trump administration realizing that Iran is different from Venezuela operation at the start of this year, and drones actually work very well in situations like this?
Well, I will tell you, it has troubled me when I've heard a number of senior administration officials refer back to anything at all associated with the Venezuela operation. Those are about as radically different of operations as you can imagine. And I fear that there may be some, at least in the policy world, that thinks, hey, it's just an operation. We did it there. We can do it here. Not recognizing that the terrain is different. The military between Venezuela and Iran is radically different. Their histories are different. Their cultures are different. And maybe above all, the geography is different. The size is very, very different. So many advantages in the defense capability for just the geography and the terrain inside of Iran makes it, orders of magnitude difficult. And you're not just going into Caracas to steal one package of a man. You don't have somebody on the inside working on that. It'll turn him over. And then you can go in, you can get him out, and then bam, you're out. That's basically a raid is what we had there. This, on the other hand, has an enemy that is very much capable of striking back, and certainly what didn't exist in the Venezuela situation, they have the chokehold over the Strait of Hormuz, and therefore 20% of the world's oil and urea and all kinds of other things that we all need. So those are some of the just the minor differences, or the major differences, rather, that distinguish between the two. But the military task is so much more difficult here than it is there. Venezuela, I don't think they had a 500,000 people that were, a lot of whom had battle experience. They had been, you know, even with proxies and other ways, had been fighting for a long time in the region. So, and then plus Venezuela didn't have proxies like the Hezbollah, who's been having missile and rocket launches into Israel, or the potential for the Houthis in the Red Sea. So, and now Khatib Hezbollah in Iraq, for example, the PMFs and the other militia are now possibly going to enter the fray as well. So all of that together means this is a massively difficult task that was not in Venezuela.